Good morning. Welcome to episode 15 of the Day and Night Podcast, an entertainment podcast provided to you by the Northwest Florida Daily News. I'm Savannah Ebanoff, the features reporter for the Daily News. It might be a new year, but let's face it, some of us still watch the same TV shows we were watching 10 or more years ago. So today we're going to talk about TV show reruns we watch and why they never get old. We will conclude the show with our DN Dish, our latest entertainment find. But first, let's meet our podcast hosts.
Hi, I'm Brenda Schaffner, the features editor at the Daily News.
I'm Seth Stringer, I'm the sports editor here at the Daily News.
And I'm Jenny McKeon, reporter here at the Daily News.
Awesome, we've got the full table here today. So a lot of people watch reruns of old TV shows, even if they've already seen them. So today we're going to talk about which shows people watch or most frequently rewatch and why. We asked our Facebook followers what TV reruns they watch, so I'm going to start out with those and kind of see if we can relate. Obviously, the TV show that got the most mentions was Friends. At no surprise.
It's so rewatchable.
Super obvious.
So I guess for a minute, why do you think that show is so easy to rewatch?
And that's even with a laugh track on there, which is just awful.
I actually didn't watch Friends when it was on TV. I didn't watch it until it came onto Netflix for the first the first year it came on, and I binged watched it. And it's such a bingeable show because you wanna see like the progression of Rachel and Ross, but also just like all the little
the ensemble cast. Like we all like associate with one character.
Yeah,
you know, like,
exactly.
I'm more like of a like smart ass like Chandler, you know. But then we all have a Joey. We all have a Ross. You know, we all have a Monica. We all have a Rachel. We all, you know, we all have a Phoebe. But
that's
I think
you need to take one of those online quizzes to figure out which one of them you are.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I mean, it went on for like 8 or 9 seasons. I mean, I feel like it's funny enough. It's not offensive. It's like easily digestible. You know, it's like 30 minutes, and on Netflix it's maybe like 22 or 24 minutes.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, it's just easy watching. Like sometimes you just want to turn off your brain and like kind of have a little heart to it, but also just have some laughs. I don't know. It's kind of like the Seinfeld. Like I put those two in kind of same category.
That's
but
true.
Anytime Friends comes on, like you immediately you know the episode too. Like even people who didn't watch in the beginning and have rewatched it sticks in your brain.
It does.
Yeah, I think so. Facebook follower Nicole Cole said Friends! Exclamation point. Then our coworker and fellow reporter Annie Blank said Friends! I was watching reruns on TBS last night and was cracking up, even though I've seen each episode like 100 times.
Yeah,
true.
It was in our vows. We put a Friends quote in there because I did all pop culture references. So I put like 50 in there, and Friends made like 2 quotes, I think.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I like that.
So Facebook followers Babe Hart, Haley Ardwan, please forgive me if I mispronounced that, Christina Heather Anderson, Belinda Arnold Bowling, also known as my mom, Tamani Godwin, they all said Friends as well. So that was the most popular one for sure.
Did you get Dan Kelly?
Oh, nope. Dan H. Kelly. Friends,
yeah,
he's got quite a list there, so we'll get to him in a moment.
It doesn't mean, like, these people probably wouldn't say Friends is their favorite show of all time.
Right.
It just means that some shows are a little heavier. That you just don't want, like, there's like the Breaking Bad type shows where you're like, or The Wire, where you're just like, I don't really want to watch that again. I really loved it when it came on.
Well, and that's one of the things I noticed right away in the list of suggestions from our followers, as well as the shows I was coming up with. They're almost all comedies.
Well,
there are a few dramas, but I don't think dramas lend themselves to the kind of rewatching over and over and over again the way comedies
do. It's too emotionally taxing.
Well, exactly. And most dramas have. I know comedies do too, but most dramas have a real solid through story. You know, you can't just randomly pick up an episode and remember everything that was going on around it. Because when I was trying to think of the shows that would work for me, I put down ER, one of my all-time favorite medical shows. It had like 15 seasons. But you don't see that run as repeats anywhere. And I'm not sure that it's available on any of the streaming services. And I even asked myself, well, would I just randomly watch an episode if I came across it? Well, I might, for nostalgia's sake. But it definitely was obvious to me that comedies lend themselves to this kind of viewing.
Well, so you don't have to watch it like in serial.
Not necessarily, right.
Well, and also sitcoms and like ones that follow like the same general plot each episode. Because then you kind of already know what to expect. You know immediately what you're getting into. Like, usually it's a group of friends. They're going to get into a shenanigan. They're going to solve it. And then, bam, end episode.
Oh, gosh. That just reminded me of a show nobody mentioned.
Okay. So I guess we'll move on to the next one. So Anna Calhoun Teal, our Facebook follower, she mentioned Everybody Loves Raymond, which I don't know if you guys, but I watched that show quite
a bit.
My
husband does. He binge watches that.
I feel like I watched that in Frasier quite a bit.
Yeah. My dad loved Frasier, but Everybody Loves Raymond kind of hits home to me because, you know, he's a sports writer. But he's not
that's true.
Yeah. You're like, but it's not like an accurate portrayal of a like sports writer because he's always home like every night. He's even, he's like trying to write books. Like he kind of covers the Giants occasionally. Like, but
is he a columnist though? I mean, he's not a like sports reporter per se. Yeah. Doesn't he write a column?
He writes a column too, but he covers games
too.
He does,
you're right.
But he's always home. Like that's home true. At like for that's dinner, true. And he's home like. Like what hours does he work? Does he go into like I don't know. I mean,
you
and then if
find
you're
out that job
and even if you're a columnist, you still have to like cover. Yeah, you still have to follow
somewhere.
Like yeah, you have
stuff.
To follow the games.
Yeah.
So
that's true. That's true.
But I mean, and I love Everybody's Room because like he's such a like a he's a good dad, but he just like things fall off the fall off the shelf for him. And then Deborah's so mean to him, and that bothers me about the show. But it's so funny. And Deborah's his mom, dad across the street, and. The Brones, they're just like that typical, like overbearing, mother and father, and then like the jealous brother. But I always love it. Yeah, Everybody Loves Raymond comes on, like I'll watch it.
Yeah, I feel like kind of another like consistency like throughout the list is just like shows that have like a hint of sarcasm like in the comedy. I don't know, there's something easy to rewatch when there's a show with like that biting sarcasm a little bit.
And that's pretty evident in sitcoms. I think
right?
any sitcom from the 80s or 90s, I can just sit there like a zombie and watch it all day.
Well, Anna Calhoun Teal and also Dan H. Jr. Kelly mentioned Stargate and Stargate SG-1. Have you guys ever watched this?
Yeah, definitely that would not fall into the comedy realm. But
yeah, that would be like kind of an outlier.
But it's fiction. And I noticed Star Trek made the list several times too. And actually, Star Trek Next Generation is one of those shows for me. And I think science fiction may be another one, a general broad category of show that you can just kind of... jump onto whenever you come across it.
I have to tell you a story about Stargate because I can remember, and you can imagine, Stargate's been on for a long time and they have all kinds of like spinoffs and things. Mm-hmm. But when I was younger, I remember going to like a sleepover, like, gosh, this is during middle school. And I went to this girl's house and she lived in this really small town in Oklahoma, nothing to do. But her family just watched Stargate all day long, the whole weekend I was there.
It's like a nightmare.
And I thought it was going to be, I was like, Stargate, what is this? And then like I got so sucked in, I was like, Stargate SG-1 is the best thing I've ever seen. but I could see myself like rewatching that. Well, I think I'd get sucked right back in.
Pensacon is coming soon, so you can maybe pick a character.
In February.
I will be there.
I'm surprised no one mentioned Doctor Who
I'm surprised too.
Those are kind of long episodes.
That is one science fiction show that I've never really. I shouldn't say I've not gotten into it because I've never really tried, but it for some reason it just was never on my radar, and I keep thinking I need to make it be on my radar. But I just know it's a show that a lot of people have super allegiance to, and
yeah. But I also, because it has such a long, like a huge catalog, I don't know if that's something that you just like pick up and you're
that
like,
could
oh,
be
I'm just going to.
Because there's like different ones too, right? Yeah. That could be kind of like ER. It would just be hard to jump into the middle of something like that.
I think I want to watch TV with Brian Schenck, who says that he loves to watch
The Office.
Saved by the Bell, Home Improvement.
Yes, Home Improvement. I was so happy to see that on the list.
Danielle Boyette watching Seinfeld all day. Same. And Yvonne, I can't pronounce her last name.
Kristofek Lasky. That's my best
Golden Girls
shot.
And Designing Women, she has my heart right there.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Like I said, when I saw Saved by the Bell and Home Improvement, I used to watch Saved by the Bell like right before school, and those yes. were reruns, and that was always like the best way to start your day. And it always makes me think of Seth now. So
I'm old enough for, I remember watching the new episodes of Saved by the Bell that Saturday mornings, and they were so, like, I'd wake up early, like, and me and my brother would watch them. That was a wow. long time ago.
That like, was.
Well, the very first show I thought of was Big Bang Theory, so I saw that Stan Anita Skipper also mentioned that, because it's on TBS all the time, and mm-hmm. if I come across an episode and I'm not doing anything else, I will watch it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what season, whether they're married, they're not married, they're dating, whether Penny and Leonard are together or not together, I will sit there and watch it. The show is just so well written. It's funny. It makes me laugh. In fact, they had a special episode on this past Monday night, an odd time, and I watched it just to see whether it was a new one or whatever. And it wasn't. It was a rerun, but I sat there and laughed the whole time. And my husband came out and said, "So was this a new episode?" I said, "No, but it's still funny." And I've read so many people post things about this show online about how it just brightens their whole day. Mm-hmm. It just, because
yeah,
it's
there's
funny.
No conflict with it, really.
It's just extremely well written. There are the occasional episodes that make me cringe, but for the most part, it's just hilarious.
I listen to a couple of like podcasts with people who work in the quote unquote industry, who work in TV, and people who work in TV in LA hate Big Bang Theory.
Really?
But, yeah.
It's so popular, and but like it's there's nothing inherently it's, like it's not like. It's just, yeah, it's just not offensive.
It's undeniably creative.
Well, I don't know if it's creative, but it's really funny. And I think, like Seth said, if you have a really good cast and the cast all works together, you have
yeah.
gold. And
I think the episodes pretty much follow the same arc, like, all the time.
Yeah.
But that's intentional.
Well,
they become
creative in the premise of the show, yeah. not the actual episodes. But I mean, like, as a whole, I think.
Yeah, there is a problem, though, that I think, like, with Penny and Leonard and things like that, like, constantly shows have an attractive woman and a not-so-attractive male. And it's not even, it doesn't even try to hide it. It's not even like, this
right.
guy's good-looking and this woman's great-looking. It's like, no, this guy is not good-looking. And this
yeah.
and it's like all the time. It's like that King of Queens type thing where you're like,
yes.
you know.
That does drive me nuts.
I think that's crazy. I don't think that happens in real life as much as it happens on TV. Like, you don't see that. Or these, like, unattainable, you know, like, these nerds are, like, with, like...
Well, that's another thing with, like, sitcoms in particular, I feel like.
Sure.
Like, you don't see that as much in dramas. And I guess that's part of, like, the realism of dramas versus, like, comedies where they're a little more far-fetched.
Yeah. Well, and actors are always really pretty people.
That's true. That's fair. I was excited that Tamani Godwin mentioned How I Met Your Mother,
mm-hmm.
Because I think I feel kind of like Brenda was saying before, it doesn't really matter, like, you know, if Robin's dating Ted or if Robin's with Barney. It doesn't matter where we're at in the big scheme of that show. Like, I will tune in and watch it.
Marshall
like,
and Lily
episode.
Are pretty much always together, aside from, like, one
that
season.
That one season,
between,
yeah. Exactly. It doesn't matter where we're at, though. If it's, like, Marshall and Lily Pat in the house.
Marshall and Lily are like relationship goals. Like, I'm like, gosh, I wish I had that. Like, they're like glued to each other, and they're always like finishing each other's sentences and like high fiving.
They're pretty cute, but
inside jokes.
I feel like I always identified with Ted, like, no matter the situation. Like, Ted's just always like that lost one. I think everyone can relate to at some point. Or
I thought you were going to say you associate with Barney, but you know, that's okay.
Or maybe like a Robin, because I could see myself having like 10 dogs.
Yeah.
I never got into that show. I tried.
Oh, that's sucks.
I've never laughed once. But I did like the clip you sent me of Let's Go to the Mall.
That's so, like every
yeah.
clip. That clip is like the show.
Well, of all the Star Trek yeah. series, I was happy to see that Chance Gold named Star Trek The Next Generation, because that's the one for me that I also, whenever I come across an episode, I'm happy to watch it. It's just one of those shows that's really well written. It had a really good cast. I mean, led by Patrick Stewart, how could you not love it? I mean, it was just—it's just wonderful. So,
is that the one that Whoopi Goldberg was on, or was she?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she was.
I'm game for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just like I said, of the many Star Trek variations, that one has always been my favorite.
Well, I'm going to embarrassingly say, while we're on kind of a sci-fi notion, that I really was happy Anna Calhoun-Teal mentioned Charmed. It's a guilty pleasure, but I definitely watched that when I was younger. And I feel like, you know, you've got, like, however many witches are in that show, so it's definitely sci-fi. But they all kind of metaphorically represent, like, your aunt, your sister, your mom. Like, they're just, like, these, like, really nice characters that you like hanging out with. So,
speaking of witches, I just discovered that Sabrina the Teenage Witch from the 90s.
They're relaunching it.
Yes. Well, they're really actually, that wasn't what I was going to say. That, the relaunch of that is actually going to be based on the Sabrina comic book, which is,
yeah,
like, darker.
Oh, wow.
But Sabrina the Teenage Witch with Melissa Joan Hart is on Amazon Prime.
Oh, that's even better than what I was going to say. That's so cool.
So
that's another
that's
one that
my
I
rotation.
I could definitely watch reruns of that, no doubt. So also, Anna Calhoun Teal mentioned Gilmore Girls, and so did Karen Dubois. And I know that definitely Brenda, Seth, and I like Gilmore Girls. What
and
about
that was
you,
on
Jenny?
My list too.
I've never watched Gilmore Girls. I've had people say, like, to me that me and my mom remind them of the Gilmore Girls, the way we banter back and forth. But no, never watched it.
That show's another one that's really easy to watch reruns of, and I'm not even sure why, because it does have kind of like a guiding plot, and it has some drama to it, but
it does, and
it's
the issue
charm
there too is, you know, Rory is so young when it starts, and now she's a young woman, so you just sort of have to accept wherever you happen to fall into it when you come across an episode, or, you know, if you're binge-watching it, of course, you probably would start at the beginning anyway, but it's another one of those shows that is just so extremely well written, and I'm sure the first two or three times I saw an episode, I missed half the dialogue anyway, so it never hurts to go back and see what you can pick up that they said so fast that you missed the first times you saw it. So there's always something new and fresh to discover.
Yeah, it's not necessarily background, like background rerun watching.
No, you have
the dialogue is web smart. It's
yeah,
like it's
exactly.
No one talks like no one talks like that. So you have to really pay attention to be like, oh gosh.
One interesting answer we got was from Aaron Little, and he's a reporter at the Santa Rosa Press Gazette, and he said Mystery Science Theater 3000. He posted on my Facebook. Mm-hmm. Share, so I don't think it was on the official list, but I made sure to make mention of it. And I thought that was kind of interesting too, because I'm like, I mean, I guess it could be background noise, but it those are longer episodes.
Yes. Yeah, because they like make fun of a whole movie or whatever, don't
how
they?
Long
I mean,
are
that's
the
how
episodes?
That works.
I think they condense sometimes they condense the movie, and it's B movies.
Right.
So those movies are, you know, probably not much longer than an hour.
That lends more to like podcasts. I listen to podcasts that do that, and
yeah, you know, that would be good in podcast form.
Like like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. I had this list of this podcast recently that just made fun of the whole movie, but it's great. It's like 2 hours long.
Well, we did have one follower who responded with some pretty heavy dramas instead of following the comedy rule. So here's the exception, and that's Ray Murray, who listed Hill Street Blues, which he says is the best show ever created, and then Homicide: Life on the Streets also.
Kind of scared of Ray Murray.
Ray was actually one of my journalism professors, and you should be scared. He graded very intensely.
Well, and Mike Cross mentioned Archer, so that's not a comedy either.
So, I liked Archer. I could watch that anytime.
That's a comedy, right? Is that an animated show?
It's an animated show. But I would call it more of like, I don't want to call it a dark comedy because it's not quite there. Is there like a halfway between light and dark comedy? Mid-toned comedy.
Okay. Mid-toned. I like that.
It's like part of that Adult Swim thing on
it's
Comedy
on
Central.
Fox,
or,
I thought. Or okay. FX.
I think it's FX. I don't know, I always watched it on one of the streaming sites and someone else would put it on, but I thought that had some, like, really good humor to it. It's definitely very adult.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
well,
I really enjoyed that.
I didn't think of it as a comedy, but anyway.
And to the woman that said none of them, who hurt you?
So, yeah, Kimberly
Mathis. If we have someone that's like, like, read a book instead, like,
to each his or her own.
Well, yeah. Kyle Ryan mentioned something called Trailer Park Boys, but I'm not familiar with that.
That's,
do any of you know that one?
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of just crude humor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of, what would you compare that to? Like a Cops. Like, it's kind of like that kind of show.
It's just like a... Or Reno 911.
Yeah, it's kind of like along those lines. But it's definitely... I don't want to say it's a guy's show because that sounds really sexist.
But most guys find it really funny. I don't get into it.
Yeah, I guess I have a harder time getting into it than...
Well, a couple of real classics mentioned by Matt Avery were All in the Family and Hogan's Heroes, so...
All in the Family is a good one. I remember when, like, All in the Family was on Nick at Night.
Mm-hmm. Nick at Night.
I know, I miss Nick at Night so much. All in the Family and the Jeffersons. I loved watching those shows.
I'll expand when we start getting to our own. But yeah, Nick and Knight's great.
Kind of laughed at Anna Calhoun Teal mentioning Reba. I don't know why, because I actually do.
That's a funny show.
I actually do like that show. It's like the premise of it that seems really silly, but that's kind of another one of those just really cute, funny, funny shows you can't stop watching, and it always seems to have a good moral at the end, so it's uplifting.
Well, and she also mentioned Golden Girls, as did Yvonne, and I know that show practically has a cult following now. Yeah. I mean, it's got its own merchandise and everything else, so.
And I'm always watching it and quoting it.
Christina Heather Anderson chose Psych and Cheers. I watched a couple episodes of Psych, and I could see that being an easy show to rewatch. Did you guys ever watch Psych or Cheers?
Not interested. Yeah. I'm not familiar with Psych.
We're literally listing every show. Because I'm like biting my tongue. I'm like, well, we're going to talk about this.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also Dan H. Jr. Kelly mentioned the A-Team, Magnum P.I., and he said the list is so long. And it's true. I feel like all of us like spend so much time like rewatching TV.
Yeah.
I almost think I spend more time rewatching TV than I do watching new TV.
Same.
Well, what is a rerun now? Like, everything's on Amazon or Hulu or Netflix.
That's true. Reruns have kind of lost their meaning.
They do Stranger Things, and people are already watching reruns before people have watched the original.
I guess anything that's in syndication.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I will say, because I love my mom dearly, I'm going to mention her other show, which was Modern Family. Have you guys watched that? You watched that, right?
Yeah, so I watch it new, though. I don't think of it as a rerun. You know, like, there's some shows
These are shows that are still on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also, Big Bang Theory is,
but
too.
But again, it's like, what is a rerun? Because now you can go back, you know, and watch all the old episodes, even when a show's just started.
That's true.
I mean, even you just went back and watched the first season of Stranger Things.
Right.
I'm not sure.
Someone who had not seen it yet. Well, you know, the term rerun sort of came along back when there were set seasons for TV. I mean, television season would start like in September and go from September to May, and then you would watch reruns, quote unquote, from June until the new season started. But now there really are no set seasons for television. A lot of the shows are coming back this week from having a quote unquote winter hiatus or a winter finale. Like the new episode of This Is Us was on last night after taking off for the holidays. So television is just a completely different
ballgame. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I wanted to real quick just say thanks to our Facebook followers for helping us out and sharing which shows they like to rewatch. So now it's our turn, though. So I know Seth has some things to say. So Seth, what shows do you like to rewatch or reruns?
Well, we kind of touched on this, but There's two separate categories I would put it in. Like, are you strolling on cable, and are you know, if I'm on cable and I run across Golden Girls or Scrubs or things like that, I'm gonna watch it because it's funny and maybe I'm doing work at the same time.
Right.
But am I gonna go on Netflix and seek out Scrubs? Like, no, I'm not. You know, Golden Girls is always on. I will watch it when it's on. It's on so much, I have all the seasons on DVD. I don't need to put it in my DVD. I don't need to seek it out. But there's some shows I do seek out, and that's The Office. I know me and Jenny are, like, The Office is my number one show of all time, right next to Arrested Development. I will go and binge watch those over and over again. Mm-hmm. And they're both available. The Office, the Christmas episodes are hilarious. I was watching those when I was at my brother's in Atlanta. It holds up well. It's funny. It's easy. It's 30-minute episodes. Cheers, my sports writer, Sam Grubinoff, me and him love Cheers. I watched Cheers all through my childhood. It holds up well. Sam and Diane are one of the classic love stories, just like Jim and Pam. So, I mean, I love Cheers. And
Seth,
it holds up so well.
Not a fighter.
Yeah. TV shows, I think, used to be written much, they were much more dense in their coverage. You know, like Big Bang Theory is very hollow. It's very digestible, but like Cheers had heart, like had so much heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tear up watching Cheers in Office and, you know, and things like that and laugh out loud. One other show that I really like that I watched with my mom is Roseanne. Roseanne's coming on again. I'm so excited about that. Roseanne was such a strong, she was like one of the first strong female characters.
Wow. I'm binge watching it now currently on Amazon.
Well, I will say one of the reasons we chose this topic was because of Will and Grace coming back. Because I know I used to watch reruns of Will and Grace all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved it when it was on Lifetime. But see, I've cut the cord. I'm not on cable. And I don't have the patience to watch TV on actual TV. I don't have the patience for commercials.
And that's a trend. You know,
once you have it, it's hard to go back.
Yeah, so I'm just a binge watcher. But I do like to binge watch things I've already watched before. Like,
right.
I'm currently binge watching, like, Roseanne, Golden Girls, Will and Grace, all, and I've seen all the episodes, but now I'm just going to watch them all in succession.
How do you choose?
It depends on my mood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you watch a season of like The Office or like Parks and Rec, like I can go and that'll immediately put me in a good mood.
Yes.
You know, there's some shows that were so transcendent for the time that you're just like, you just got to go back and watch it to appreciate it.
They're like old friends. You just feel kind of like all warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, I like how everybody said Friends, but I feel like there's deeper shows out there like Parks and Rec and Office that have a little more dialogue and a little more real-world stuff going on. Like,
yeah.
It's not like...
And Friends kind of set the tone for, like, some comedies that we love today. I feel like setting the tone for, like, really good ensemble casts and stuff like that.
The laugh track just kills me, going back and watching stuff.
It doesn't stick out for me, but that is a very... David.
Like, The Office of Parks and Rec, like, they don't have it. It's just so nice to have that silence and just kind of understand what's going on, like, through their mannerisms and things like that, as opposed to being like, laugh here, laugh here, laugh here. Same thing with Seinfeld. I mean,
true. It's a very dated, like, concept, so it kind of, like...
It's like, it's so condescending to the viewer. It's like, you don't understand what's funny. Like, I just don't get it.
Think about it without the laugh track, though. It would be so awkward.
It'd be like Curb. Like, Curb and Seinfeld, like, it'd be like that.
Yeah.
Do you ever notice, like, if you watch a TV show, like, by yourself, like, you don't laugh out loud, like, typically?
I don't laugh out loud a lot.
I do if someone else is there. I'm like, is this my subconscious acting out?
I don't know. Golden Girls, like, you just think, you're like, oh, that's funny. That's funny. Like, oh, that's, you know.
Right. You just have that, like, fleeting thought.
That's why I like Parks and Rec and Office and Arrested Development and shows like that, where I laugh out loud.
Yeah,
like, I laugh out loud continuously, whereas other people are like, what's wrong with you?
I think it's funny how you separated this into two categories, because you're completely right. Like, what I would watch if I was, like, flipping through channels, you know, what I would watch reruns of versus like what I would choose on streaming sites now is completely different. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna like take it old school, because back when I did have cable, I'm pretty shallow, but I could definitely watch like reruns of shows like America's Next Top Model or like What Not to Wear, anything on TLC, mm-hmm. basically.
Yes.
Even if I'd already seen the episode, like there was just something really gratifying about like the you know, how you knew exactly what to expect, and you knew you were going to get exactly out of it what you wanted. Like, What Not to Wear, there's nothing better than, like, a makeover.
Yeah.
So if I know they are going to find someone who needs one, and they're going to give them a makeover, and then at the end I'm going to get to see that makeover, like, that's gold.
My best friend and I used to watch it all the time in college, and we even thought about, like, submitting each other and purposely wearing, like, really bad clothes.
We thought about that,
so we could go to New York, and we were just like, we just want to meet Carmen D. and Stacey Lemon.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Stacey.
Me too.
But, I mean, you know, those are shows that I watch plenty of reruns of, and I'm talking, like, I would manage to find it on cable. You know, they'd have all-day marathons back before mm-hmm. binging on streaming sites was a thing, and I would sit in front of the boob tube and watch them all day long.
Wow, you went
all
with the boob
tube. I did. Well, when you talk about cable, you start feeling a little old school, a little retro.
True that.
All right, Brenda, do you have any shows we've missed?
No, we've talked about most of them, but I have thought of a couple others that no one has mentioned that I especially one, especially, and you just now mentioned marathons, Twilight Zone. They often show a Twilight Zone marathon, like, around the New Year and stuff like that. And I think a lot of people who are into that will watch that no matter what, if they just come across one. And what's surprising to me, because they did have a Twilight Zone marathon around the New Year's this year, and The one episode that we happened upon was actually one neither one of us had ever seen, which is unusual when they can dig out something from the vault that neither one of us has ever seen. I mean, I was not allowed to watch that show when I was a child because it was too scary and it would give me nightmares. But that's one that I'm surprised no one mentioned. And another one is that 70s show. And something one of y'all said a little while ago reminded me of that, because that's a show I never watched when it was new. Mm-hmm. But when we come across an episode of it just randomly, we'll usually sit there and watch it because it's pretty funny. It's extremely shallow. I know all that, but it's still funny. So I was just surprised that those two did not come up.
I love that show. I will mention I Forgot of Two as well, and that was Sex and the City.
Yes.
I could rewatch episodes of that all day. Yeah. And then Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Mm. I could watch that anytime, and I did watch plenty of reruns of that when I was in high school.
Buffy is one of my top three shows, but and I occasionally rewatch it, but it I have to be in a mood to watch Buffy because it's really dark, and it's a good dark.
It is kind of dark.
It's got some humor, you know.
I planned like intentionally when I was going to watch it. Like I built my life around when the show was going to be airing on cable, which is sad. So to conclude our episode, we're going to share with you our DM dish, which is our latest entertainment finds. Brenda, would you like to go first?
Sure. And I'm conflicted because I have three different things that I could share, but I'm going to go with this one. We recently watched on Netflix the movie The Founder. If you're not familiar with that, it tells the story of Ray Kroc and the McDonald's empire. And it stars Michael Keaton in just pretty much an amazing performance. But I have to say, although the movie was mesmerizing to watch, it made me want to never eat at McDonald's again.
I bet.
Because of what he did to the McDonald brothers. I mean, he pretty much stole the whole McDonald's thing from them. And if you know, presuming that this is pretty factual, and I think it is, because I've heard things about this before. But the reason to watch this is Michael Keaton. I mean, he just gives a tour de force performance as Ray Kroc, and it was pretty amazing to watch, really. So it's called The Founder. It's available on Netflix. It played in theaters as well. In fact, I think
it had a really short run in theaters.
Yeah, I'm thinking he was even nominated for some of the film awards for this. I can't say whether he won any or not, but it was an extremely unusual role for him and quite compelling.
I'm going to have to watch that.
Yeah, me too.
What about you, Jenny?
it's kind of a little bit of everything. I've been watching a lot of Roseanne on Amazon Prime, and I'm really enjoying that. Oh, Absolutely Fabulous on Netflix. And that is a really just...
What is that?
It is such a funny show. It's
two
on...
Two British women.
Yes. It's two completely shallow...
I like where this is going.
Yeah, two completely shallow British women.
Okay.
It's a super 90s show. And
aren't they drunk most of the time?
They are
too?
Drunk or high most of the time.
I'm already sold, guys.
Yeah.
Stop talking.
It's really funny, and it's not laugh out loud funny. I don't necessarily always laugh out loud. I actually
laugh silently.
Yes. I tune in for the outfits because it's very 90s.
Okay.
Even as the show gets, because it's not a very long running show, but what's her name? Adina. She wears the craziest outfits, just a lot of color, and it makes me happy.
I like that.
Are you going to start wearing a lot of color, Jenny?
No.
No?
I just watch it on TV. I don't wear it.
Well, then I'll go next. I actually do have two. I'm kind of cheating. But first of all, happy birthday to our coworker, Savannah Vasquez. So shout out to her. That's one of my DN dishes. But then my other one is The Wide Open, which is an Americana duo made up of Alan Rayfield and Susan Ammons. They just came out with a new album. It's called Long Road Home. And so they're actually from kind of a combination of Northwest Florida and Texas, but they met here in Northwest Florida. And they just have this kind of like steamy, awesome romance story.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really romantic, and you know, they make music together and they travel the country. It's kind of like, you know, books are being written and They have kind of a neat story. So they're actually going to be coming back to Northwest Florida. I think they're already in town. But they are going to be performing at the Imogene Theater in Milton on January 20th. So if you guys want to get tickets, you should check that out. And then also, I think they're going to be performing at the 30A Songwriters Festival. If you already have tickets for that, you can try to see where they are on the lineup and see if you can make their show. But they're really good. I've heard the new album. I think it's really good. Brenda's heard it, too.
Mm-hmm. It is good. And you can read all about them in DN Friday. Savannah did a really nice story about them.
Oh, thank you. All right.
Post it online, too.
All right. Seth's turn.
I was talking to Brent about this the other day, but I really enjoyed Lady Bird. I was so looking forward to The Post, and I'm like, tunnel vision towards The Post this weekend, and then I watched Lady Bird, and I was like, this may be the best movie I've seen, you know, for the start of the year. Wow. I went to see it on Matinee the other day, and it was just nice, and felt like a snowbird, kind of, you know, show up, and everybody was above 60, 65, and clearly just, like, taking it easy. And it's interesting. I was telling y'all like that it was such an older crowd because it's like set in the early 2000s, kind of the aughts. And the main focus is Laurie Metcalf is a mom who's like a nurse and her daughter, Lady Bird. And she demands to be called Lady Bird, even though her name is Christine. And and everything's in like quotations for her. And she's just a very typical teenager. She's like a senior who's trying to figure out life. She's trying acting. She's dating boys and whatnot, but she's really awkward, and like her relationship with her mom is so like clashing, yet they love each other but they don't like each other. It's like they love each other but they don't like each other. And then the dad's like the good guy, but it's just one of those movies that kind of like it just works itself out. Like there's no inherent conflict or anything like that. It's just like this is her living out her senior year and wanting to go out of state for college, and then her mom just like hating that idea, and then them clashing the whole time. And it's interesting because I associated with Lady Bird because you go to high school in the same town that you've always lived in, and you just want to get out and you want to go out of state. You want to like spread your wings and whatnot. And then your parents are kind of like, the grass isn't greener, always greener, like, mm-hmm. you know, whatnot. So, yeah. But she lives in like Sacramento and, you know, and she wants to go to New York, you know, and that's kind of her thing. But she goes through all these like, you know, trials and tribulations.
Where is it?
So good. It finally, it was over at Commons, and then now it's at the Regal. So.
And it stars Saoirse Ronan. I believe she won a Golden Globe Sunday night for her role.
She did. So did Greta.
I thought it was really cool that I had a woman director. And, you know, there's been all these snubs for women directors. So I felt like it was just like a, you know, I don't know, with the Women's March just coming up and everything like that. It was like one of those movies where it's like, you know,
good
screw men.
Timely, yeah.
Like men were, most of the men in there are like not the focal point. So it's very, but you know, it was comforting to see like all these like older couples at the movie theater who are like obviously, maybe it's kind of shifting focus towards women directors. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, this movie is really good.
Nice.
Like, can't highly recommend.
I do want to see it. Well, I can already tell you guys, next week we're going to be talking about The Post. I think we're all going to see it this weekend.
Yes.
And I'm really excited. We're all really excited about it.
We have homework.
You've got a bunch of journalists in here, so we're amped. So we're going to talk about that next week. And then if you guys haven't already subscribed to our podcast, you can do it on the Apple Podcast app or the Google Play Music app. So you guys should do that. Thanks for joining us today on the Day and Night Podcast. You can listen to our next episode and hear about The Post. Bye, guys.
Later, guys.
Bye.